It is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on the Infinity Sports Network. I'm coming to you live from Atlanta, Georgia. Thank you to everybody for listening all over North America, wherever you might be. East Coast, West Coast, Midwest. Here in the South with me, you could be in the Northeast, you could be in Toronto, you could be in Vancouver, you could be in Nova Scotia. What's up, Mark? You could be in Honolulu. Wherever you are, thank you for listening. The show gets started every weekday at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific. I'm in Atlanta. Thank you to our producer in New York City, Ryan Botcher. And thank you to our guest, one of our guests who joined us last hour. Many thanks to Christian Winfield from the New York Daily News. Hey, we got another guest who's going to be coming our way in about 20 minutes. We're going to have a good old chat with Gil Gross, who covers all things tennis for the Tennis Channel. Yeah, we have an American male who has a big match tomorrow. We need more Americans in tennis. Where is Pete Sampras? Where is Andre Agassi? We need the next generation of them, okay? Anyway, we got more to do. And if you've missed a minute of the show, go ahead and hit rewind on the Free Odyssey app. We talked about Big 12 Media Day, comments made by Commissioner Brett Yarmark about the college football playoff. We talked about Mike Brown. We heard from Mike Brown, introduced as the new head coach of the New York Knicks. Urban Meyer says he was asked to go back to college to be a GM. Ain't nobody offer that guy a job. Why is he lying? Hey, Kirk Cousins, he felt misled at his job. Signing with the Falcons, he thinks he was misled. Jared Goff said the Los Angeles Rams, well, he feels betrayed when they traded him from the Rams to the Lions. Yeah, we learned all of this from their Netflix show, Quarterbacks. Now, we got more to get into. Today is a big day in sports history. Oh, my goodness. LeBron James made his decision 15 years ago, this day, July 8th. There's a little teaser for you about something that took place this day in sports history. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander gets another accomplishment. There's just there's so much going on. Like, if you didn't think that Shai Gilgeous-Alexander could win something else, he did. He's going to be on the cover of 2K, a video game that I have not played in a very long time and probably will not play because they ain't making me no money. But there are people, how many people really, really make money playing video games?
The top 1%, I'd say.
Damn. Okay, damn. Because everybody wants to stream and everybody wants to watch and all of that. I feel like more people are just streaming. Have they now eliminated the video game part?
It depends what type of streaming you do. Because there's people that play video games, but video games aren't probably the best way to make money streaming at this point. It's more of IRL, walking around.
Oh, my God.
Getting into fights in public.
In Walmart.
Yeah,
right?
Stuff like that. Content like that.
Yeah, let me go to Walmart and stream my life.
Basically. But not like shopping, but like fight someone in Walmart. Oh, stuff like that.
Being pranking people.
Yes. But it has to be live, and sometimes you have to script things to happen. A lot of stuff like that.
This is like, isn't that why Antonio, well, by the way, Antonio Brown still has a warrant out for his arrest. Has he been identified? Do we know where he is yet?
Didn't he leave the country?
I don't know where he is. I don't know.
He might have left the country.
He's never coming back, huh?
I wouldn't if I was him.
Does he know what country he's in? Does he know?
I think he just went up or down to him.
He doesn't know. He just, I went over the ocean, I went up, I went down. That's probably a good description. I can tell you about something that is taking place on the other side of the ocean, on the other side of the Atlantic. Wimbledon. And I've been waiting for an American male to emerge, a legitimate American male. Not Andy Roddick. Sorry, Andy. I've been waiting on a young man to emerge. We've had Coco Gauff here. We'll see as she continues to grow. But tomorrow, it's going to be early in the morning. It don't matter where you live in America. We got Ben Shelton, whose dad played tennis, mom played tennis. It's like everybody in his family played tennis. He's going to be playing against Jannik Sinner tomorrow. And we know between center, maybe he's compromised due to injury. We'll ask our guest, Gil Gross, when he joins us in about 15 minutes. But we know center is one of the best players on planet Earth right now on the male side, young emerging males. And then we also have Carlos Alcaraz. These dudes are probably going to be around for the next 15 to 20 years. Just terrifying tennis. But hopefully we have some other individuals who kind of jump into the fray. Ben Shelton being one of them. He is only 22 years old. And so he's going to continue to mature physically, and hopefully his game puts him in the space of the other gentlemen that I just mentioned. We need some more Americans that I want to root for on the tennis side. And so he has a big match tomorrow. It's his first time reaching the quarters at Wimbledon. Big deal if you're 22 years old. Now, here's the other kicker. He's dating someone who is an Olympic gold medalist. He's dating someone who plays on the U.S. women's national team. It's Trinity Rodman. You've probably heard of Trinity Rodman scoring a bunch of goals last year for Team USA, and she has also been very public, unfortunately, about her lack of a relationship with her dad, her father, Dennis Rodman. And so she's dating Ben Shelton. She's 23, he's 22, and God bless him. I'd say teenage love, but close enough. Either way, she's in the box with the family at Wimbledon. And so when Ben is over here winning, they're showcasing the family in the box. And they had brought up the fact that his dad, his mom, his the sister, and then she or he is also dating Trinity Rodman. Well, let's just say Trinity Rodman hasn't appreciated some of the mentions of her being at the tournament. Now, I want you to take a listen to this. This is from ESPN just a couple days ago, as they pretty much describe the family box as they all sat and watched Ben Shelton. Listen to the description. You be the judge as to whether or not you found or hear anything offensive.
The ensemble here as well. Trinity Rodman is the girlfriend of Ben Shelton, great soccer player in her own right, the daughter of former basketball star Dennis Rodman, and then sister Emma, who played some college tennis as well at South Carolina and Florida. She's there on the right. Still around here because Ben's urging probably helped her company, her employer in New York, let her stay a little longer and skip a little more work.
It sounds like normal banter, watching tennis like anything I've ever heard in my life. Well, let's just say Trinity Rodman didn't appreciate that. She put this on social media. For those who don't know, my name is Trinity, not Tiffany. For Ben's matches, he has his family there as his support system, which includes his dad. My dad's not even in my life. No need to bring him up during his matches when I don't even want him talked about during mine. It's him and his loved one's moment. Thank you. Damn. Wow. Whoa. I didn't hear anything that was all that crazy. And I'm saying to myself, if you're a public figure, and you're an athlete as well. You're associated with your dad. Don't throw that at the announcer. Be mad at your dad, which we all know you are. I wouldn't beat up on the announcer. Like, we can't do these things privately. Like, she has cachet enough to reach out to the producers or ESPN and express, hey, can you lay off? Does it have to be directed at the announcer? Now, I'm not hearing every single minute and second of Wimbledon. I mean, are they mentioning her every 5 minutes? Are they going telling Dennis Rodman stories every 5 minutes? I don't think so. But if you're a person of note, a person of fame, of which she is, and growing fame, like, these are things that you have to expect. Like, don't take it out on the announcer. I mean, for instance, you heard him pretty much reference Ben Shelton's sister, who now works for Morgan Stanley. Well, why do I know that? Because he won his match and he publicly stood on center court and he basically made a joke about, hey, it'd be nice if Morgan Stanley, you know, gave my sister some time off so she can stay and watch my matches while I'm doing this. Listen to what he said publicly about his personal life.
She has work back in the U.S., starting on Monday. She works for Morgan Stanley and... Hey! Come on now. She works for Morgan Stanley, so if any of y'all have some connects and get her a couple extra days off so she can... We're going to keep this this rolling. That'd be great.
Yeah, well, she got the days off. And good. So he shared that. And then your girlfriend is a part. She's there with the family. Like, I don't see anything wrong. And I can't fault her if she has an issue with her dad. I don't think this is detracting. I don't think any of the coverage has detracted from what's going on with Ben Shelton and his family. I just think Trinity Rodman has an issue with her dad and still being associated with him. But that ain't nothing that's ever going to break ever, 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 ever. I think, and who am I to say, I find it to be an overreaction. Like, why don't you just message them at ESPN and ask instead of just trying to, you know, beat up on one guy or people in particular? I don't know. What are your thoughts on this, Botch? I'm like, you're a public figure. What do you expect?
I'm not even mad because I would watch some of these tennis matches with Ben Shelton and just because there's nothing else on. I'd watch it, right? They would continuously cut to her in the family box, holding like a rabbit's foot. Just, it felt like a Taylor Swift type celebrity at these matches.
Yeah.
And it kept repeating and repeating. But to go off what the commentator said, Trinity Rodman should have nothing to say about what was said about her. I'd be more mad if I was, you know, the sister of Ben Shelton saying, like, I'm dodging work. You know, I can't
not
support
even,
my family.
Not even. That's not even an issue. Everybody agreed, hey, my brother's doing something. They gave her days off. So there's no issue there. But to your point, like, Trinity Rod, what's the beef? Like, your beef is with your dad. Your beef is not with anybody broadcasting it. And I guess at this point in time, she's so used to, you know, playing soccer and being on the field in that space. There's not going to be references, okay? They're not going to get you every single time. If I watch a New York Knicks game, you know, I'm watching Jalen Brunson. Man, outside of his dad being there, being on the court, he's not referenced every 5 minutes. His dad is also not one of the most famous people ever. I mean, I still look at athletes, and I kind of make a joke out of it. Man, I remember watching Fernando Tatis play. I may say Tatis's son. I may go Fernando's son. You are who associated with. There's certain things that you can't run or hide from. And I can't imagine being in her perspective, knowing who your dad is, Dennis Rodman. She's been very clear on him not being a part of her life. At one point in time, I think she said they were homeless. And so I get any disdain that you have for Dennis Rodman. We all know the life that he lived. But to direct that towards announcers to just be like, hey, this is his moment, like, stay out of it. Like, there's only but so much you can control when it comes to coverage as a public figure, like flat and period. And I just think there are a lot of younger athletes who have come up in social media that have never been criticized, that haven't been put out this type of way. As far as I know, she has never been presented this way. As now being someone's girlfriend, someone's significant other. Well, if you're being introduced to a new audience, they're going to bring it up. Okay? Can it be overkill like a Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift situation? Oh, yeah, sure, it can be. But there comes a point in time where the viewers are going to be the ones to hit with the backlash. I think she overreacted to something that's a little bit more natural. And I think it's because of who her dad is and the relationship. She pretty much said so. I mean, if Dennis Rodman was a sterling father and he was a neuroscientist, you know, world famous neurosurgeon that the whole world knows, and would she have an issue with that being brought up on the broadcast? Probably not. But a dad is Dennis Rodman and she's trying to disassociate. So I hope over time, and I think ESPN will respect her wishes, and she's obviously going to get what she wants. But let's put it this way. She's not going to avoid this in every single way. You can't control all of it. Good luck to Ben Shelton. He takes on Yannick Sinner tomorrow morning. Well, all over the country, as this is obviously going to take place in London. So check your local listings on when he's in action. If you want to go out there and root for an American male, 22 years old. This is the furthest he's been at Wimbledon. Yannick Sinner, I believe, has been dealing with, I want to say, an elbow or a knee. So let's see how he is tomorrow. Not that you want to beat a guy while he's not feeling the best, but we'll see what happens. I'll be tuning in. Matter of fact, we're going to take a break. We come back on the other side. Let's talk some tennis on the court. What's going on the court with Gil Gross? He covers all things tennis for the Tennis Channel. We'll have that chat on the other side. It's the JR Sport Brief Show on the Infinity Sports Network.
We're here to sweat the details, to test and retest, to optimize and perfect. First in the lab and then in the world. Because when you're known for delivering speed, reliability, and coverage inside, you need to deliver speed, reliability, and coverage outside. In all kinds of weather, all year round. Introducing Eero Outdoor 7. Eero, the way Wi-Fi should be.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. Right before we went to break, we talked about Wimbledon. We got a couple of Americans on the male side that are still kicking, showing some life. Maybe they'll inject some life into male American tennis. We have some interesting storylines going on as well on the women's side, some of the women who've been eliminated. To talk about what we could see out in Wimbledon, what we can expect to see the rest of this week heading into the championship, joining us is someone who covers all things tennis for the Tennis Channel with the U.S. Open and more. It is Gil Gross. Gil, how are you, man?
JR, I'm great. It's great to be on with you. I grew up in New York just like yourself and listening to The Fan and dreamt of having a show like yours. And my sports broadcasting career took me in a slightly different direction, which has been terrific in its own right. But all that to say, it's great to be on The Fan. And I know you're nationally syndicated as well. Talking tennis on this platform.
Well, thank you, Gil. I appreciate the nice words. Nice way of calling me old. Thank you, Gil.
I don't know about that, but
I can dig it, man. Well, anyway, I'm joking with you. Listen, when you take a look at what we currently have going on at Wimbledon, right before we went to break, we talked about Ben Shelton and his emergence at 22 years old. We got Taylor Fritz, who's going to take a look at trying to knock off Carlos Alcaraz, who's trying to go out there and win his third straight. What are your thoughts on the way things currently look right now on the male side and just getting back to a place of prominence where we have some great male players coming from the States?
Well, the numbers are certainly there, and they have been for quite a few years. This generation that grew up obviously pushing each other in Taylor Fritz and Francis Tiafoe, Tommy Paul, they have all emerged as top 20 talents. Ben Shelton's a little bit younger than them. Shelton has a little bit more raw ability. I'd say he's a more explosive athlete. He brings bigger weapons to the court, so his upside may be even higher than those three. But it's definitely exciting times in men's tennis. The big question, though, is these two guys at the top, they are dominant right now. They've won each of the last six slams. And tennis is a sport that we've seen over the years in the era of Federer, Nadal, and Djokovic. When guys get to that level, it's really difficult to pull off the upset and have that run where you take them down and you have your moment and you win your slam. So it just takes so much to get there. I think Fritz deserves a tremendous amount of flowers, now playing his second major semifinal. And we'll see what Shelton can do tomorrow against Yannick Sinner, who's been the most consistent player in the world for the last 2 years.
Well, Grill, when you talk about Yannick Sinner, he's dealing with an elbow issue, and we saw him beat a guy yesterday as well to even advance, who had the fallout or fall out of the match. What do you think Ben's chances are given Yannick's condition?
Well, it's so difficult to predict. What's the deal going to be with Sinner's elbow? So what happened in the first game of that match, the quarterfinal match, the fourth round match that Yannick Sinner played against Grigor Dimitrov, he slipped on the grass, he fell on his right elbow, and for the rest of the match, it was subtle, but he couldn't serve as well. His forehand was way slower than normal, ended up taking painkillers during the second set, and it was 2-2 in the third set. Sinner was in big trouble here, down 2-0 when Dimitrov, his opponent, partially tore his pectoral muscle, and that was all she wrote. It was a really tragic scene, to be honest, on that center court. But Jannik got very fortunate there. I think now the question is, modern medicine, they know it's a problem. They're going to be able to take all the pain-killing measures possible, all the rehabilitation measures possible. And I don't know, my hunch is that Sinner's going to be just fine. That could be wrong. Again, it's just a hunch. But there is that glimmer of hope. If you are a Ben Shelton supporter, if you're an American tennis supporter, there is that possibility that you're dealing with a compromised Jannik Sinner tomorrow.
Gil Gross is joining us, covers all things tennis. It would be a dream. I don't expect it if we saw Ben Shelton and Taylor Fritz there, but I think I'm going to favor Carlos Alcaraz. But it's nice to see how things have advanced on the American side. But you had mentioned one name and how things have changed over the years. We know Federer gone, Nadal gone. Djokovic is still here. He is still competing in this tournament. What are your thoughts on his longevity and still being here, trying to pick up another slam?
It's unbelievable, JR. There are three parts of it. First off, you accomplish everything there is to accomplish in this sport. There's literally nothing he hasn't done. It becomes very hard to wake up in the morning and be motivated to continue with the same rigorous training schedule, all the sacrifices you make as a professional tennis player. And Djokovic, his motivation has definitely sort of weaned off at the other events, but four majors, Novak still has found it within himself to keep that fire burning. The other thing is he's revolutionized the sport in terms of diet and warming up and cooling down and stretching religiously. The way he's taken care of his body like a temple, it's been very LeBron James-like, Tom Brady-like, and you don't start that when you're 30, and then all of a sudden you think, oh, I'm going to catch up and try to achieve that kind of longevity. You start that when you're 22. And I think all the care and attention that Novak has had from that young age, really since 2011, when he changed his diet and he really got committed in that aspect of the game, we're seeing the fruits of that labor, because the way he has limited the injuries for the most part, and the way he's still moving around the tennis court is just spectacular. And now the question is, can he become, can he get major number 25? And he's at an age, Federer did not win a major at 38 years old. Nadal did not win a major at 38 years old. All of their last slams were at either 36 and 11 months in the case of Nadal, or 37 years old in the case of Federer. And if you look at Djokovic's last, so can somebody win it at 38? That's the question coming up for Novak.
Gil Gross is here with us on the JR Sport Brief Show, talking tennis coast to coast. Who are you favoring here in the rest of this tournament?
I'm favoring Alcaraz. I think numbers-wise, that's just, you come into the tournament and it's undeniable. He's on an 18-match win streak after Roland Garros, having won Rome, having won Roland Garros, having won Queens, which is a pretty high-level tournament in the lead-up to Wimbledon. He's won Wimbledon now in back-to-back years. And then if we get to another Jannik Sinner Carlos Alcaraz final, Alcaraz has beaten Sinner now 5 matches in a row.
Oh,
now, part of that is, it's a little bit misleading, I got to say, because those matches have been so close.
Well, the other one was what, 5.5 hours?
It was 5.5 hours, and Jannik Sinner had 3 championship points. So those margins are minuscule. In that sense, you got to look at it and admit that it's been very close between those two. But at the end of the day, in those big moments, in the clutch, Alcaraz continues to come through and prevail over Jannik Sinner. And 5 times in a row, I mean, the record doesn't lie.
Gil Gross is here with us on the JR Sport Brief Show to take a look at the women's side. We see Sabalenka, number 1 ranked in the world. But to put more of an emphasis on the women who represent the United States of America, the biggest names, obviously, Coco Gauff, who's still emerging despite just winning the French. What is her issue? Of course, the surface has changed. Why does she have so much difficulty in grass? And do you see her that changing as she continues on with her career?
I think in this case, there are some technical aspects to it, and then there are some mental aspects to it. On the technical side, she has a Western grip on her forehand, and that particular grip is conducive to a higher contact point, and grass is the lowest bouncing surface. So it's the difference between on clay, the ball comes in shoulder high for golf, versus grass, the ball's coming in knee high for golf, just to kind of paint that picture. That's a pretty big deal for her, but also we talk a lot about dealing with failure in sports and trying to rub some dirt on it and come back from that kind of thing. What's sometimes underlooked is how difficult it is to come back from success and to go back to work. And Coco Gauff had that triumphant French Open title and went back to the United States and did a one-week media tour, and she might have just had a little bit of trouble getting back into battle mode. And I could not blame her if that were the case. It is not easy with only 3 weeks between Roland Garros and Wimbledon to kind of snap back into it. And Gauff also faced a really dangerous opponent in the first round, Diana Jastremska. Yes, she's an unseeded player, not inside the world's top 32. But everybody knows on Jastremska's day, she can be a killer. And that also added to the difficulties for Gauff.
Oh, Gil, you talk about failure. We heard Naomi Osaka with a heavy quote about failure and feeling negative and down, and then feeling the media highlights too much of her negativity. Can she get back to where she was a few years ago? Or is she's been very honest about her own mental health struggles. She's had a child as well. God bless her. But is she too far gone from where she was?
It kind of seems that way, just because we're not in phase one of the comeback at this point. She's been back on the tour for about a year and a half, and that's a pretty decent sample size. Now, on one hand, you look at Naomi Osaka's age, and she is still technically in her athletic prime. She's not even 30 years old yet. In that sense, she should still have plenty left in the tank, but it does appear that she has kind of lost psychological edge that she used to have in sort of phase one of her career before she took some time off to have her daughter Shai. And also, you know, it just seemed like at times the difficulties of not just being a tennis player, but being a celebrity, being a star, those things weighed on her. And Osaka is now, she's a mother, she has generational wealth. She's come back out onto the tour without the same sort of a competitive edge and spark. She's certainly still talented. She can hit forehands and backhands. She can hit serves. Nobody can question that. But it's been a long time now where she's been back onto the tour, and she really hasn't been able to show her previous form.
Yeah, we'll see if she's able to bounce back. She says, hey, she doesn't want to be portrayed as always being sad, but she's always sad. So I don't know what she wants from people. Gil, Anna Samova, she's going to take on Sabalenka. That's our last American hope there on the women's side. Does she stand a chance?
I actually think she does. Anna Samova is such an incredible ball striker, and everybody has seen that about her forever. Now, she too has had some off-court issues that are actually kind of different, completely tragic and out of her control. She lost her father at a young age. She ended up taking a mental health break of her own, just stepping away from tennis for a little while a couple years ago. But now she's developed a maturity level that she didn't have when she was in her teens, and she was actually competing towards the top of the game, even as a teenager, and a fitness level that she's never had before, which has certainly been kind of a missing piece at times for Amanda Anisimova. But she takes on an Aryna Sabalenka who can't be feeling all that confident after being down a break 4-3 in the third set today against a very crafty and unconventional opponent in Laura Siegman, but somebody outside the top 100. And between the way Sabalenka's game crumbled in the Roland Garros final against Gauff, the way it looked shaky in that quarterfinal against Siegman, I think it's fair to say, although without a doubt, Sabalenka at her best is the best player in the world, the number one player for sure, there are some cracks. There are some vulnerabilities that can be exposed. And Anisimova can go toe-to-toe with Sabalenka in a lot of arena strengths. Sabalenka is this big, powerful ball striker. Anisimova can match her. I think it's going to be a really good match, a really interesting match. And the storyline that not a lot of people are talking about right now, Madison Keys won the Australian Open, American. Coco Gauff won Roland Garros, American. So if Anisimova wins Wimbledon, we go into the U.S. Open with a chance to sweep.
Sign me up. I'm rooting for all the Americans. The ones that are left, we got two on the men's side. We have Anisimova here getting ready to take on Sabalenka in 2 days. Hey, Gil, thank you so much for the time and the expertise and enlightening everybody from coast to coast. Now, fill us in on where we can follow you and all your work covering this great sport.
Absolutely. I appreciate being on with you, JR. Monday match analysis on all audio platforms. And just my name, Gil Gross, that's Gil with two L's, on YouTube to check out the show.
Hey, thank you so much, Gil. We're going to have you back soon, okay? Appreciate the time.
Absolutely. Looking forward to it.
No doubt about it. And shout outs to Gil Gross for swinging on through to talk some tennis. Man, I love tennis. I love tennis. I don't play it anymore. My knees are shot. My arms hurt. Don't like being sore. I like to watch. I'll be rooting for Mr. Shelton tomorrow as well, and Fritz. I don't expect an all-male final on the men's side, but I can hope, I can wish, right? Nothing wrong with that. 888-710-4ISN. That's 888-710-4ISN. I told you that Shea Gilgeous-Alexander has picked up yet another accomplishment. Today's a very special day in the history of LeBron James' history. We have so much more to get into, but what's going on in the world of sports? It's time for a news flash with Rich Ackerman.
Looking to earn a business degree that fits your busy life? UNC Greensboro's Bryan School of Business and Economics offers flexible, fully online programs with courses as short as 7 weeks. Get the same high-quality education as you would on campus, with the convenience and affordability of online learning. Explore a variety of in-demand programs. Don't wait. Apply now to start this fall. Visit bryan.uncg.edu to apply today.
We're here to sweat the details, to test and retest, to optimize and perfect. First in the lab, and then in the world. Because when you're known for delivering speed, reliability, and coverage inside, you need to deliver speed, reliability, and coverage outside. In all kinds of weather, all year round. Introducing Eero Outdoor 7. Eero, the way Wi-Fi should be.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It is the JR Sport Brief show on the Infinity Sports Network. Thank you so much to Gil Gross for joining us. Covers all things tennis. Great chat. We got some good matchups coming up. Looking forward to that. Make sure you check out Gil Gross Monday Match Analysis. It's going to be a fun one. I'm looking forward to what we got left here in Wimbledon. Let me know. Let you know, bad English, about the Defensive Player of the Week, brought to you by the Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. The Defensive Player of the Week is Brewers starting pitcher Freddy Peralta. Okay, the Brewers beat the Dodgers 9-1. He struck out 7 batters in 6 innings of work. And the Brew Crew, they have pushed the Dodgers' losing streak to 4 games. They now trail the Cubs by 3.5 games in the National League Central. Pitchers, the first line of defense, go out there and stop them from scoring. Speaking of scoring, somebody else that just continues to score and score and score some more, and he's not even playing and he's still winning, is Shea Gilgeous-Alexander. Today we have learned that he is the new cover athlete for NBA 2K. And the jokes have already started online. They're like, his cover is going to be him standing at the free throw line shooting free throws. And it's just like, oh, come on. Is that not played out? The guy just won the regular season MVP. The man just won finals MVP. The man just won himself a brand new contract. Like, what is, Bacha, what hasn't he won this season?
An Olympic gold medal. That's about it. That's not this year.
Damn. It's because he's Canadian, right? Poor guy.
Yeah, for now. But they should have a good team coming up soon.
Shea Gilgeous-Alexander.
Edie.
Well, who's
Zach Edie is their center.
Oh, Zach Edie driving 100 miles per hour with the messed up leg?
He's like 7'4", 7'5", though. Just put your hands up.
He's going to have to. That's a big-ass dude, okay? He has to worry about running up and down a basketball court. He has to do that first. Who the hell, who and what is going to be different on that team? The Canada's team. They're going to be good when we just had one Olympics. We don't care about another one for another 3 years.
Yeah, maybe there's an up and coming Canadian star that we don't know about.
Oh, okay. All right. So no real details there. They're just going to be better. I guess. I don't know. I feel like that's most teams. We know a lot of teams have caught up to the United States of America. But you're right. One thing that Shea Gilgeous-Alexander has not won in a calendar year has been an Olympic gold medal. And he could thank his nationality for that, okay? MVP, scoring titles, NBA championship, finals MVP, $285 million Supermax extension. He just released a shoe. I do not know what it looks like. Is he a Puma athlete, right?
He is.
His shoe, do they look any good?
I didn't look at them. Didn't he wear the gold? He had like a gold demo version of the shoes around his neck when they won. So I don't think it looks good in all gold, but maybe the regular version right. looks fine.
Yeah, I'm looking at these shoes. No thanks to me. Yeah, man, I wear Nikes. I wear Blazers from 1977. Give me a regular-ass pair of leather shoes. I think I'm A-OK with that to walk up and down the street. I ain't playing nothing, so I don't need them. Anyway, let's listen to Shea Gilgeous-Alexander. This is just a couple weeks ago. He just won everything. This is what he had to say about just being a winner.
It was impressive. But I think the most impressive part is like the group that did it, our togetherness on and off the court, like how much fun we have. It made it so much easier, and it made it feel like we were just kids playing basketball. It was so fun. Like it's all the achievements and the accolades and things, like they don't even come close to like the satisfaction of like just winning with your brothers and people that you are so close to and want to succeed just as much as you want yourself to succeed. So that's been the most impressive and most fun part of it, just to know that I have 15 brothers that I just experienced a once-in-a-lifetime experience with, and I'll never forget them. They'll never forget me.
Wow. Now he can win in a video game, too. How about that? He probably, if you simulated the video game, there's a good chance the Oklahoma City Thunder would probably end up winning that, too. Congratulations to Shea Gilgeous-Alexander. There's nothing more that this guy can do. I mean, some point in the offseason, we're going to get a story about how he saved some baby or cat from a burning house. I don't know. He's just, everything is going right for Shea Gilgeous-Alexander. And speaking of more, do we really need more college basketball? The NCAA is meeting this week to think about whether or not they want to increase the tournament, the amount of teams participating, from 68 to 72 or 76 as soon as next year, as in like the upcoming tournament. We didn't need, what do they call these other stupid four teams?
The buy-in teams?
No, not buy-in. What they gave it a stupid name.
First four?
Yeah, the first two. We don't even need those guys. They start playing on Tuesday and Wednesday just to have basketball. And so what are we going to get now? You got Selection Sunday. And so we're going to make some schmuck teams play on, I don't know, on Monday? Is that what we're doing? We should have a ring of fire around the basketball court while they go ahead and do it. Like, how much more basketball do we need? It's enough.
I think they want to avoid the gaps in between Selection Sunday just till the tournament starts. So as many bad games as we can fill in there, put in there.
They did it already. When do they start the first four? What is it, Tuesday and Wednesday?
Yeah, 1-1, I think it is. Like, one then, game one day, one game the other. Or 2-2.
And then we move fully on to, you know, just the madness of Thursday and Friday where no one is productive while doing a damn thing. And so what they're currently exploring right now, the NCAA, is trying to figure out how they would work this out with their television partners, of which there are many. Of course, when it comes down to March Madness, I think that's the only time that anybody puts True TV, you know, on anything, really. And so they're trying to figure this out. And a lot of this also boils down into gambling. I mean, not that the NCAA is making money off of gambling, but they can certainly make more money off of the sponsors, which I think for years have been Mars and Capital One. Shout outs to my friends at Capital One. I've worked with them on the tournament. In Buick, I think Buick's still spotting. Maybe Buick. You don't see too many Buicks on the road anymore. Botch, when's the last time you seen a Buick?
I haven't actually looked for a Buick, but I would say it's been a couple years.
I saw a Buick rolling down the street the other day, and it is such a rare sight at this point in time. I just said to myself, oh, damn, there's a Buick. I haven't seen one of those in a while. Here in Atlanta, I see more of the Waymos. The driverless cars, I see more Waymos than I see Buicks. No Waymos in New York. There's no autonomous vehicles there, right?
Besides for Teslas that kind of have the automatic assist, yeah, there's no driverless cars yet, I would say.
No, bro. There's no automatic assist is in not even the same category as these driverless cars. Have you been anywhere to see one on the road?
I think I've seen one once. In just an out-of-state trip, but I would never get in one. I don't trust it.
What? Why not? You don't think it's safer than a human?
No, because what if the robot glitches? Or it's not really the issue of the car. It's more of the other people on the road going into the robot.
Well, that humans glitch behind the wheel of a vehicle all the time.
That's
and so
true.
Do other people. I mean, everybody's glitching out on the road. Look at all the accidents and everything out here. And I get it. You know, here in Atlanta, the Waymo might go the wrong direction one day and people have a fit. And I'm going, do you see how some of these humans are driving on the road sometimes? Okay. And by the way, shout outs to all the Uber drivers, the Lyft drivers, the DoorDashers, the Amazon drivers. Shout outs to everybody out there making that money. If you see a robot, break it. Don't let it take your job. I'm joking. I think I'm joking. Anyway, it's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network, 888-710-4ISN. That's 888-710-4ISN. Today's a very special day in the history and legacy of LeBron. I'll explain. Don't move.